going to depart from Amos here for the night to do something a little more seasonal. Maybe you heard me preach a sermon, something about some of what I've written down on paper here tonight, but mainly what I'd like to do is just take you on a little simple survey of the Bible on something. If you will, the text I'd like you to turn to is Psalm 95. Psalm 95, just as a starting point. Psalm 95, 1. Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Again, let's pray. Father, we ask You to give us a heart for these things tonight. Lord, there are things that we hear from the Bible. We know that these are things that we're supposed to be part in. These are virtues we are supposed to have, and yet it's all too easy, Lord, to say, yeah, yeah, and amen, and not do too much about it. Father, I pray You might impress us with the depth of this matter here tonight, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Now, Thanksgiving is often considered just an American holiday. It is an American holiday and all that. It's also become a big tradition. As with all traditions, you start doing things in time just by rote, jumping through the hoops and just following through and doing the very exercise itself without much heart and feeling. I know that for years and years, of course it's been a long time now since I was in Texas, but Thanksgiving was Turkey Day, and it was the day that the Cowboys always played the Lions. And in that day, anyway, always won. I don't know about now. But whatever's the case, you know, it's just one of those things. And like I said, it's Turkey Day. It's really, for most people, I think, in America, really just kind of the warm-up time before Christmas. It serves kind of as that. It's the day before Black Friday is really the big deal. In some arenas, it's also, you know, a social statement about Native Americans and women's rights and all kinds of things that they twist in there. In the secular, politically correct world, they're celebrating Thanksgiving, and you had talk show hosts take the day today to have people call to say what they're thankful for. Which in a secular society, an essentially atheistic society, thankful to whom? It's pretty stupid to say, I am so thankful for my family. Yeah, if you don't believe in God and don't serve God, to whom are you thankful? Right? So anyway, I wanted to look at that for a little while. I want to talk to you this just for a few minutes this evening, on the legacy of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. Thanksgiving is a virtue. Okay? Thanksgiving is an attribute. Thanksgiving is a characteristic. It's not something that is supposed to be put on and put off like a garment. That's what people do either today or tomorrow. Like I said, you have people that actually call into a talk show and give a testimony about something they're thankful for, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of something that's put on and put off. Like that garment, it's not supposed to be that way. It's not something you can just schedule and say, well, for this hour, for testimony night at church, I'm going to be thankful. I'd like to just give you a few things from the Word of God here tonight, and actually, maybe you'll count them and decide there are more than a few. I'm not quite sure. But I'll be pretty brief. Look in Leviticus chapter 7. You're going to need your Bible nearby because we're going to go back and forth kind of fast here. Leviticus chapter 7. And Leviticus chapter 7, notice verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. Talking about the priest, talking about Levitical priesthood here. Verse 12. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil, and fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. I want you to just see in brief that in the law, a thanksgiving was given a place among the peace offerings. Now, this is the first occurrence in verse 12 of the word thanks in any form in the Bible. And I just wanted you to see the context here. God put this thing in the law, and of course, by putting it in the law, it almost assured that thanksgiving would not always stay the virtue, the characteristic that the Lord intended, because it's all too easy to bring it and offer it and jump through the hoop and so on and so forth. But I wanted you to see that the thanksgiving offering was a part of the peace offering. That thanks is part of peace with God. And this all the way back from the very first time it's mentioned, all the way back in the law. Thanksgiving has something to do with peace. I don't just mean peace in the world like the Pope means it either. I mean peace of heart and peace of mind. Now notice something else along these lines. Look in Nehemiah. Got to run you over there for a second. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 12, go down to verse 24. Now, skip forward here from the Levitical day, and I wanted you to see this. Verse 24, the walls of Jerusalem after being rebuilt are being dedicated. And what he says is this, verse 24. He's going through and naming the Levites that are major partakers in this festivity. And the chief of the Levites, verse 24, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them, to praise and to give thanks, according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward over against ward. It said there that these guys were going to give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God. Now let's go back to see what that's about. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. First thing to realize is that from the very beginning, written into the law, was the fact that these thanksgiving offerings were in connection with peace, peace with God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, having seen that David ordained a lot of this, this is where he ordained it. That's why I had you go to two places. 16:4. David is getting things ready for dedication of the temple. He appointed certain of the Levites, verse 4, to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Here is the man after God's own heart. And one thing that he ordains for his Levites is to make sure there is a certain segment or sect of them whose entire job is to labor in thanksgiving and praise to God. The Levites in David's day did not just run around and, you know, haul around the ashes or kill the calf. One guy's got the knife to kill the calf. One guy has the butcher knife to cut up the calf and so on and so forth. He set aside an entire sect of the Levites just to thank God. It had that much import in the law. Look in Daniel chapter 6. And again, there's quite a few of these, so I'm not going to linger on any of them for more than just a couple minutes. But I'm trying to impress that in a world where we count down days year by year, and, you know, for so many, Christmas Day is Christ's birthday, and Santa Claus, and Halloween is Halloween, and Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving, and all that, you have a tendency to kind of isolate things on a certain day. And Thanksgiving is not just a certain day. Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. Thanksgiving is a virtue before God, and it should play a part in the life of a Bible-believing Christian every single day of his life. Look in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, go down to verse 10. And of course, his enemies in the administration have trapped him, essentially, because they knew that he would keep praying. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So he kneeled 3 times a day, prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Did not stop him from doing that. I want you to see that that was part. I mean, you have to admit that you're pretty dedicated to prayer when you know full well that the king has signed a decree that nobody is supposed to talk to anybody else or ask anybody else anything for 30 days. And you go right ahead anyway. You have to admit that thanksgiving was part of Daniel's steadfastness. He wasn't going to stop praying, and he wasn't going to stop thanking God. And in the end, don't look now, but in the end, of course, he was entirely delivered. He didn't have a bit of lion slobber on him the next morning. And my point, ladies and gentlemen, is it was part of Daniel's steadfastness. I want you to see something else. 2 Chronicles 5. I'm glad I noticed that. I skipped it. Don't want to skip this one. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. David has passed on, gone to be with the Lord. And Solomon, his son, has taken over, has built the temple, and has now come to the day that he is ready to dedicate the temple. And 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, in the midst of the temple being dedicated, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. These guys were busy thanking and praising God in verse 13, lifted up their voices, played their trumpets, and when that happened, the Bible says the glory of God filled the temple, and so that those ministers had to leave the temple and get out because the glory of God was so thick in there. I just wanted you to see that thanksgiving ushered in the glory of God. Now, I don't expect that if we sing loud enough and with enough heart, that smoke will start to fill this place and we'll have to leave. I don't expect that to be the truth, okay? I understand that. You still have to admit it's a remarkable thing that when the proper heart and the proper amount and the proper quality of thanksgiving is given, that God would respond in such a way as this, and in such a way that as part of Daniel's steadfastness in Daniel 6, that Daniel would not be touched the entire night in the midst of a den of lions. It's a remarkable thing. It might be that thanksgiving is part of the power of God, that it might be part of what actually hooks you in and plugs you in to the power of God. I'd like you to notice something else. Look in Jonah, the book of Jonah, little book of Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. And I would remind you of a context here. And at the end of chapter 1, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Yes, in Matthew it was a whale. Chapter 2, verse 1, let me continue in verse 17, the last verse of chapter 1. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And then the next word is then. Okay, so he's been in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He's in the fish's belly 3 days and 3 nights, and then he prays. Okay? He didn't start praying when he first went down because, frankly, brethren, I believe Jonah was dead. Okay? Then Jonah prayed, and he said this in verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonah was in the fish's belly. Jonah's body was in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights. But Jonah died and went to hell. Now, if you say, well, I contest that. Well, just read it. It says there, and he says that out of the belly of hell cried I. Notice verse 5. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. I believe Jonah was dead. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever, yet thou hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He's saying he was dead. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 9, he says that he spoke to God with a voice of thanksgiving. I'd just like to say that thanksgiving was part of Jonah's deliverance from hell. I'm not suggesting for even the slightest moment that if somebody goes to hell today, that if they're thankful enough, they can get out. I'm not even suggesting that. I am saying that was part of the formula for Jonah. So you would have to at least concede to me that God very well might listen to a voice of thanksgiving before he listens to a lot of other things that he hears. That he might act upon a voice of thanksgiving before he acts on some of the other things. Oh God, please, 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 please. How about some gratitude first? You know? I'm just pointing out, as part of Jonah's deliverance from hell, I'd like to point out to you Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. A lot of these things we talk about passing time to time in relation to other things. I don't recall that I put this all together in one spot before. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This is just some of the highlights of thanksgiving, the legacy of thanksgiving. I'd like you to consider that as thanksgiving is not just a holiday. It's a virtue. It's an attribute. It's a characteristic. And it may be one of the most powerful things that you can yield and wield out of an honest and open heart to Godward. Look in Romans chapter 1, verses that you're all so familiar with. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. It said back in verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And this entire decline, down spiral, down into abominable filth, started with not glorifying God and not being thankful. And you can go all the way down. There's a lot more in here than where queer tendencies come from. There's a lot in there. And my point is, man started his down spiral in sin, sure, but he started his down spiral when he refused to glorify God as God, and when he was not thankful. So I can say this with complete confidence, that gratitude and thankfulness is an indispensable foundation in life. If you're grateful, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. If you're not grateful, you're starting down a road that before long you may not even have any control about whether you travel the road anymore. I mean, one time after the next in this passage, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them over, okay? In the end, He gave them over to a reprobate mind. But this thing all started with not glorifying God and not being thankful. Doesn't even say they had to stand in public and pray a thankful prayer with great eloquence. But they weren't even thankful in their hearts. I'm sorry to keep going back to it, but here are a bunch of ninnies in Missouri. And because a white guy is proclaimed by a grand jury to not have killed, not to have murdered somebody, not to have killed them in malice, they therefore decided that it was proper and right to riot and burn the town. As far as I'm concerned, that bunch of people is hopeless. They are not grateful. There is not a grateful bone in their bodies. And that's where all this started. I'm telling you, depending on what you do with glorifying God and being thankful, you will either lay a sound foundation stone for the rest of your life, or you will down spiral from here in your ingratitude. Look at something else, if you would. Look in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. Where we find that gratitude was one of the prime attributes of your Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, you think about somebody coming down here from a throne of glory, from glory itself. He's God manifest in the flesh. All power is given to Him in heaven and earth. What is there to be thankful for? He's God, right? But in His humanity, Jesus Christ was over and over again thankful. He was grateful. Look in Matthew chapter 11. Go down to verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hast revealed them unto babes. I thank thee, Father. Jesus Christ was grateful. Look in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, go down to verse 36. He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them. And out of that breaking of that bread and those fishes, there came one of the greatest miracles of the Word of God. Jesus Christ, your Savior, was grateful. Look in Matthew 26. They could turn to a dozen places where Jesus Christ was grateful, but just in passing, Matthew 26, notice verse 27. Matthew 26, 27. He took the cup. This is the cup that would lead to His death, and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. But He was thankful. He gave thanks and gave it to them. I'm telling you that gratitude was one of the prime attributes of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at just a couple other things. That's a lie. There's many more than that. Never mind. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Thanksgiving is not a holiday. It is a virtue. And I dare say that a lack of it is probably a sin. Philippians chapter 4, I know that you guys know this one. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It secures the heart and mind through Christ. It secures the heart and mind through Christ. We've been covering the mind these last 3 times we've met in Sunday school. And so, y'all are well rehearsed in that of recent. But, ladies and gentlemen, gratitude, thankfulness secures the heart and mind through Jesus Christ. And there are things that come to pass in that peace that is beyond your understanding. That's what the verse says. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again, a verse that everybody here knows. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It places you in the will of God. Oh, the will of God is such a mystery. Oh, the will of God is so difficult to determine. It's so difficult to find. Listen, when you are grateful and thankful for whatever it is that you're in, you are in the will of God. At least in that respect, it secures you and places you in the will of God. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll start reading in verse 1. Exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved to come into the knowledge of the truth. Well, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks is to be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in squirrely days. Again, you think about what it would be to live in that town in Missouri here the last couple of days. It's got to be pretty awful. I got news for you. There's probably more times like that coming in more places, maybe much closer to home than you even realize. I don't know exactly when they'll be here, and I don't know exactly how it will be that they come to pass. Maybe it will be a crime scenario like this last one, but I can tell you this. Thanksgiving, in spite of who the magistrates are, in spite of who the president is, and in spite of who the idiot vice president is, the bottom line is it lays the foundation for tranquility in an evil world. No, we can't control what President Obama does. And apparently we can't vote him out either. And no, there's just a lot that you cannot control. And there's a lot that you will never be able to control. But I can tell you this, being thankful and being grateful lays a foundation for you to be able to live tranquilly and peacefully in an evil world. Because I believe that there is power. I believe that God honors somebody that will be grateful in less than prime conditions. Now, you can sit around and gripe and moan and complain and curse and swear all you want to at the magistrates. And I think it's pretty much proven that does not really benefit you or anybody else. So what we might ought to do is obey the Bible and trust the Lord to give us the peace and tranquility and fruitfulness that He promised, even under evil circumstances. What do you think? Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. No, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 4 before you go past that. Sorry. I had so many points, they're all getting tangled up here. Ha ha. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, 3. Knowing that this passage begins with, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, the Spirit speaketh expressly that it will be that way. Notice that he's describing men, verse 2, who speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I would like to say that thanksgiving sanctifies some things that would not be otherwise sanctified. Now, I'm not suggesting you can go take a cup and dip it into the local sewer system and come up with something pure if you're grateful enough. I'm not saying that. But you will acknowledge that what it says here is that there are some things that God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. I just want to say that thanksgiving often sanctifies something that would not be otherwise sanctified. That's why we pray for our food and thank God for our food. And I wonder how many times I do it. I wonder how many times you bow your head because it's habit and because Baptists are supposed to and thank God for the food without a grateful heart at all. Well, maybe that food's not sanctified after all. You know? Let's look at something else. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I'm trying to say here that thanksgiving secures something that, and it may give you the highway into something that maybe nothing else that you know of can. I believe that God honors thanksgiving when He doesn't honor some other stuff. I think you can pray and pray and pray and beg selfishly for your own stuff for as long as you want, and maybe God won't even answer that prayer. But I think we have shown here tonight that God does respond to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a holiday. Thanksgiving is a virtue. And a powerful one at that. Yeah? Go back to my Norwegian roots here. Yeah? Hebrews 13. 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I would like to say that it is acceptable fruit unto God, being thankful. It says there that this is a sacrifice. Let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, that is acceptable to God, that He is well pleased with that sacrifice. That is acceptable fruit. For one, in the verse, it's also acceptable sacrifice. I don't know how well God accepts ingratitude. I don't know how well the Lord accepts griping and moaning and complaining. I don't know. I've never seen somebody I considered to have great power who was a griper, moaner, and complainer and was not grateful. Most men and women that I know that got something done for God and with God were grateful at times that I wasn't. Apparently, it is an acceptable fruit and an acceptable sacrifice unto God. I'd like you to note something else in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I need you to help me with a little Bible exegesis here and you tell me what you think. 1 Peter 2 and 19. We're going to be done here pretty quick. Verse 18, let's start there. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So mean masters. For this is thankworthy. Now the word thankfulness or thanksgiving is not there, but thankworthiness is. So, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now that acceptability in verse 20 is with God. Is that right? That is, God accepts it. Right? So when you go back to verse 19, tell me this. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Okay? A man that suffers grief wrongfully, but does so patiently and with good spirit, this is thankworthy. Okay? This is something worth being thankful for. Who's being thankful? Who is the person being thankful when a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully? Is it the one suffering, or is it those who are looking on to the one suffering? I mean, I look at somebody that's suffering wrongfully, I'm thankful for their testimony. I'm not so sure. Maybe it is the guy that's maybe it is, maybe the guy that is suffering it, it's thankworthy to him. But it would certainly be thankworthy to somebody looking on. Right? Make sense? Who else is looking on? I never thought about this before today. It says, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Who else might be thankful? God? Can you quote me a verse anywhere in the Bible where God says He's thankful for me? Where God thanks anybody? I find that He praises people sometimes, right? But can somebody think of a place in the Bible where God thanks somebody? Hey, thank you, Chris, for doing this. Thank you, Chris, for doing this in this way. Anybody find a verse in the Bible? See, I don't find too many places, if any, where the Lord says, hey, Kyle, thanks. You know? This is the only place in the Bible where the word thankworthy shows up. And I think that you have to consider that it may be God who recognizes the thankworthiness of somebody who, for conscience toward God, endures grief, suffering wrongfully. He does not have to suffer it. All he has to do is deny his conscience and go on and do something else. Instead, he does not deny his conscience because his conscience is toward God. And just because his conscience is toward God, he suffers something wrongfully. That is the only place in the Bible that it even looks to me like there's a possibility that God says, hey, thanks. Isn't that cool? Anyway, there's another couple things here. Look in Revelation chapter 4. And I'm almost done. Revelation 4. You read in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. Verse 9, those beasts give glory, honor, and thanks. Thanksgiving is one of the primary occupations of heaven. If you don't like hearing God praise, you're not going to enjoy heaven. Because these people here, day and night, do it continually. Look in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, it'll be nice to be around a perpetual group of incorruptible people one day who are grateful and thankful at all times for everything. And well, we could say, well, that'd be great because there's nothing to be ungrateful for. And that's very true. So you're paying the price down here. But I'm telling you, one day you're going to get to a place where one of the primary occupations is thanksgiving. Look in chapter 7, verse 12. Let's start with verse 11. And the angels round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Thanksgiving. It's going to be one of the prime occupations of heaven. One more passage, Revelation 11. Revelation 11. And if you'll go down, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God, of our Lord and of His Christ. We're talking about the millennium here. I'm telling you, that is how this age wraps up, with a bunch of people standing up in heaven saying, Thank God the kingdom is finally His. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is how things wrap up here on earth. Now, we have a tendency, not just, well, as men, but also as Bible believers, to tend to grump more than we praise, to tend to gripe more than we are thankful. And I'm telling you, I don't find that a man gets power with God by griping. The Lord, Job was a great man, a perfect man, but the Lord reamed him out for what griping he did. And Job had great power with God, but it wasn't because of his griping. I just want to say that going down through here, once again, Thanksgiving is not a holiday. It's a virtue, and God responds to Thanksgiving from a grateful and an honest heart. Let's bow our heads. Now, Father, once again, we come to You here this night, and true enough, the reason for this sermon tonight was spurred because of what the world here in this country that we live in will do tomorrow. And for a little while, people put on the Mardi Gras masks of gratitude and thanksgiving for a day and fill their bellies and enjoy various other things. And then they go back to work Friday and are no more grateful after than they were before. Lord, I pray that we might be the exception. We have seen here tonight, Lord, just by really a very brief survey, that the matter of gratitude and thanksgiving unto God bears great fruit. And it does move our God in heaven to do some things for some men in the past. It promises us some things in the future. Father, I pray You'd help us as we labor in this day and age where everything is muted that is right and good, that we are told to shut our mouths in all these things that are right and good. We are told not to witness. We're told not to speak of a holy God. We're told not to judge. Father, may our thanksgiving unto Thee not be muted, and may it not be dampened down by the wetness and the darkness of this world. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's turn. Let's turn to number 221. 221, we'll start there. 221.
Pray. 26. 5:26. Thanksgiving tomorrow with family and such. Safe travels, especially those of you that are going to see some lost family members. A blessing on that. And be praying for you. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Yes, sir.
Anybody who's ever prayed for me or given me a ride anywhere, prayed for my family members, thank you.
Amen. Amen. All righty. Let's have a final word of prayer. Caleb, darling, would you pray for us?
Dear Lord, thank you so much.
Good night, everybody.